The word that comes to my mind as I read Jeremiah 4 is karma. Karma is a Sanskrit word meaning some of a person's actions that decides their fate in a future life. Some people call it karma, other people call it kismet, other people say what goes around comes around. The Bible says this about it though, a man sows what he reaps, reaps what he sows. Got that backwards. It's really easy to kind of gloss over this biblical principle because we subconsciously want to believe in the red-handed principle. If we don't get caught red-handed, then we get away with it. But the Bible disputes this idea. Eventually, something will come back to us as a result of our actions. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life. Jeremiah 4:18 highlights this principle. Your own conduct and actions have brought this upon you. This is your punishment. How bitter it is, how it pierces to the heart. Jeremiah is concerned, and for good reason, about what would happen if the Israelites did not repent of their immorality and their idolatry. Jeremiah has constantly been warning them about God's impending judgment. And even though he was mocked and tortured for it, Jeremiah just kept on going. Jeremiah prophesies punishment will come at the hands of the ancient, fearsome powerhouse of the Middle East, Babylon. If Babylon even looked in your direction, you would start running. Despite God's insistence that Israel wash the evil from their heart, the people refused to obey. And Jeremiah just cannot keep his mouth shut about it. He says to them, your own conduct and actions is why this is coming. It's important to underscore this thought. Their conduct and actions are bringing punishment. This means that there are consequences that follow evil deeds. Now our philosophies, our modern philosophies about God have changed. Now it's not considered polite to say that God might punish us or allow us to suffer the consequences from something bad we did. I believe the lack of fear of punishment or consequences has had a deleterious effect on our society. Don't kid yourself, and don't let someone else kid you. God cannot be fooled. The laws of nature that God put into motion cannot be violated. Now, if I jump off the church roof, I will not float up to the clouds and fly like a bird. I will come crashing back to the earth because of the laws of gravity. The laws of reaping and sowing are just as immutable. We reap what we sow. That we reap what we sow is not just a stern admonition to try to get the kids to behave themselves. It's a very serious principle of life. It applies to every culture, every gender, every profession, every religious persuasion, and every age. This principle is understood better in farming communities because farmers are closer to the earth. They understand sowing and reaping. They understand if you sow corn, you're going to get corn. They understand if you breed cows, you're going to get cows. If you ever see a pig giving birth to a chicken, call Chick-fil-A. You'll make a bundle. If you ever see a cow giving pop instead of milk, call Viv and me. We'll be right over. Sowing and reaping can be applied to the physical and to the spiritual in every way as it is to farming. If I want to reap kindness, then I've got to sow kindness. I can't expect people to be nice to me if I'm a great big jerk all the time. If I want to reap friendship, then I've got to be a friend. I can't expect you to want to be friends with me if I'm snooty. As human beings, we are always sowing something. Even doing nothing is sowing nothing, and therefore you will reap nothing. There is a tremendous blowback in what we do, in what we say, in which thoughts we allow to rule our lives, in which attitudes we allow to govern our emotions. There are some things that we've sown that we don't want to come back as a crop in our lives. Things like anger, bitterness, pride, hatred, bigotry, slander. Who wants a crop like that to come back on them? Sowing something today doesn't necessarily mean that we'll reap it tomorrow. The farmer doesn't sow wheat on Monday and then Tuesday go out in the fields and start shouting at the ground, "Where are you? Come on out. I planted you yesterday. You should be coming out of the ground by now." And when the wheat doesn't come out by Wednesday, the farmer doesn't get all mad and start digging up what he planted. No, he waits. In the physical and spiritual realm, it could take months or years to reap what we've sown. If good doesn't come immediately, be patient. If bad doesn't come immediately, be grateful and use the opportunity to sow something better. Madame Chiang Kai-shek was a Chinese Christian who graduated from Wellesley College. She influenced the direction of the YWCA and the Red Cross. She once said, "Day by day, we write our own destiny, for inexorably, we become what we do. We are today, what we are today is because of what we did yesterday. Our position, attitudes, and character are the result of our actions in the past. What we are tomorrow will be the results of what we do today." Hey, Jim, can you turn the fan on just a little bit? Thanks. What we are today is a result of what we did yesterday. We are tomorrow what we do today. An example of this in my life is playing the guitar. Did I just pick up the guitar and jump on the stage and just start strumming away? No, because I love you too much. After I figured out I couldn't learn to play by myself, I started to watch YouTubes. And then I learned I couldn't learn by watching YouTubes. I had to take lessons. So after I took lessons, I realized that lessons weren't even going to be enough. I was going to have to do the P word, practice. And not just for a few minutes every day, but for at least an hour. I can play the guitar for church today because of what I did yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. You know, Jeff Swanson used to attend this church. Boy, how we miss them. His job moved them to Georgia. But one day we were sitting in the sanctuary, and he sort of looked around, and he looked at me, and he said, "How did I get here?" Meaning, how did he start attending not just our church, but any church? Jeff wasn't exactly a churchgoer. Jeff inadvertently became a churchgoer when he made the very brilliant decision to marry Wendy. And Wendy convinced him to go to church. Then a little birdie told me that he played the bass guitar. And quicker than you could blink, he was up there playing the bass guitar. And then a birdie told me that he also played the drums. And in 2 seconds flat, he was up there playing the drums. Jeff became a valued church member, band member, and friend because of what he did yesterday. Who do you want to be tomorrow? Start doing that today. It's easy to feel superior when we are doing all the right things and we are starting to reap all the good things. It's easy to become self-righteous when others are reaping bad things because they've done bad things. We lose sight of the human being getting tangled up in a horrible mess. A real, live, flesh and blood person made in the image of God is suffering the consequences of their actions. And we become all passiveness, passive aggressive, and judgmental. And we say things like, "Well, hey, they're reaping what they sowed, aren't they?" We forget that little saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." Jeremiah's reaction to Israel reaping what they sowed was not haughtiness or glee. There should be no room in our hearts for glee when somebody gets what they deserve. There's no word for the English in this, but there is a word for it in German. It's called Schadenfreude. This is that little jolt of pleasure that we feel when somebody else has a misfortune. It's kind of a malicious enjoyment from something happening bad to someone else. It's a feeling of satisfaction we get when a person gets what they deserved. Schadenfreude is wrong. So is the attitude that it's our job to punish people. It's not our job. It's God's job. We're supposed to stay in our own lane. We don't get to punish, and we don't get to secretly smile when someone gets theirs. We are to feel deep pain over those who get what they deserve. Jeremiah, the one who tells the Israelites that they better knock it off, is the same guy who feels the absolute worst over what is going to happen to the Israelites when they get theirs. And here are his words, found in Jeremiah 4:19. "Oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent, for I have heard the sound of the trumpet. I have heard the battle cry. Here the prophet mirrors the anguish of God. He is, in fact, speaking for God. The prophet is in agony, and so is God. He is racked with emotional pain, and so is God. The expression he uses in the Hebrew is very graphic. He literally cries out, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart makes such a noise within me through the tumult of my spirits, and I cannot be quiet. Nothing is wrong with Jeremiah's heart physically. It's just broken. He's pained at his very heart, or in the Hebrew, at the walls of his heart, the muscles around the heart. I can't help but feel that that's the way God feels today as he watches those around us who are bent on self-destruction. Jeremiah never once becomes hardened to the people he deals with, even though he's had to tell them the truth. He isn't speaking sternly to them like an old school marm because he's mad at them. He's speaking sternly to them because he desperately wants them to avoid their comeuppance. One of the dangers we face is the "ha, you got yours" attitude in our dealing with others. Several years ago, a young pastor we know made a big mistake in his ministry. Before that, this pastor had been arrogant and insulting, especially to Jim. And we were a little miffed with this guy, I'll tell you the truth. And after we were told of his mistake, the first words out of my mouth were, "Pride comes before the fall." That might be true, but there was no compassion to be found anywhere in my words or, frankly, in my heart. This guy had been really hard to stomach. This young guy kept up his arrogance, making it harder for me to find compassion in my heart, and I knew it was wrong. One day, I was listening to a podcast by Dr. Brené Brown, and God spoke to me through this podcast. This young pastor had a lot of shame, and that's why he was so arrogant and defensive. The only way to begin to chisel away at the arrogance and defensiveness was to be compassionate and empathetic. Have I myself not been prideful? Have I myself not fallen? The answer to that is yes and yes. After this little come to Jesus meeting by the podcast, I tried to adjust not only what I said about this guy, but what I thought about him. And Jim and I sent him a gift as kind of an olive branch. But let's just say this guy got what he deserved. What would be next? Should we just keep rubbing his nose in it? If I take a lesson from Jeremiah, my heart should break over his getting what he deserved. We are really good at talking a blue streak about how God is going to judge the sinner, but somehow that horrifying fact fails to move us. So we look down our noses on people, and we keep our lips pursed in a thin white line, you know. Jeremiah's example should prod us to react much differently. Jeremiah cried out in sorrow. He knew what was going to happen if they didn't change, and he just couldn't shut up about it. He had to keep warning them out of his compassion. In the same way, we should not be silent about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thoughts of those who do not receive Jesus should have us crying out in agony. The idea that there are those who will reap an eternity apart from God should make us unable to be quiet. As I study Jeremiah's actions, I do believe it's appropriate to tell people, "You will reap what you sow. Please reconsider your behavior." Jeremiah says basically the same thing. Your own conduct and actions have brought this upon you. Although, do take a little advice from me when mentioning the reaping and sowing thing. Pick your moment carefully, say it very sweetly, and wear a helmet. Painful consequences are sometimes necessary. We don't seem to learn from any other kind, do we? We have hard little heads, and it takes a big hammer to break through. My mind can't help but drift back to Zephon. He sowed a lot in his 28 years of living, and he has reaped the whirlwind. I was telling Kathy Elliott how despondent I was over where Zephon is in life, and I told her that I believe death is coming for him. And Kathy, being Kathy, said, "Snap out of it. Pull him out of the coffin and let God do his work." As I reflect on Zethem's sowing and reaping, I remember a time when he learned a lesson from what he had previously sown and reaped. The first time he was in trouble with the law, he had to make an appearance in court. For those of you who have never had a minor child in trouble with the law, I'm going to tell you a little fact. This little fact is, if your minor child is in trouble with the law, you have to pay for an attorney, even though you didn't do anything wrong. If your kid needs an attorney, it's up to you. So we were like, why should we be punished by having to pay for an attorney from something Zethem did? So what we did is we paid for his lawyer by deducting his birthday and Christmas presents that year from it. This was a very costly consequence for Zethem because, like everybody else, Zethem likes presents. After about a year after his appearance in court, he was in the school cafeteria and there was a kid who wanted to pick a fight with him. And Zethem was one who never took an insult laying down. But he remembered what he had reaped the year before, and he said to himself, "Self, I want presents this year." So Zethem unballed his fists, put his arms down to his side, and sat down. That time, instead of reaping trouble, Zethem reaped the praise of his guidance counselor and his parents. And he got presents that year. We will reap what we sow. We can sow to the good or to the bad. Galatians 6, 8 through 10 says, "The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." What you sow will be reaped tomorrow. You will be tomorrow what you did today. Do you want to be a more loving person? Well, sow that today. Do you want to be a stronger Christian? Sow that today. You want to be a better husband or wife or child? Sow that today. And this thought rattled around in my head all week long. What do we want this church to be tomorrow? What do we want it to be? Then we must start sowing that today. Lord, I just pray that as we think over these things, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in our thinking, that we would begin to sow what it is that you would have for us to be, so that we may be it and reap it tomorrow. Amen.